Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 4th of February, Anno Domini 2017, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm still Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues, here comes the news. Yes, Dave Enright is back. We sent out the St. Bernards, and he followed the scent of brandy all the way back to
I got
to
tell you, we've talked about this.
That's really not going to work.
You done broke it.
All my chapstick is in the cap, and it's out of the tube. I can't get to it.
There's your first world problem for the day.
Let me get the cameras running.
Excuse me. One thing I got to say, though, and we've talked about this before, this one app called Waze.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I can't say enough about that app. Going through Dallas, because for you folks, I was out in Arizona and I was driving back, and we're going through Dallas. And the roads were so close to, because the interstate's there. I mean, they're like so close.
Yeah.
I didn't know which one to go. And I grabbed the wrong one because the other one's maybe 3 feet over. So I missed it. Waze said, no problem. And they took me down through downtown Dallas and got Sandy and I right back on the interstate. And away we go. A number of times we stopped it. We wound up hitting, in every state, a Harley dealer because I wanted to get these chips. And we could plug in the address. And Waze, again, took us off the beaten path. Boom, do that. Said, all right, get us back on. Right back. That is the best app going.
Yeah,
but
it's a
great
app.
Say, exactly, no offense to Texas. This is my opinion only. It's a boring state.
It's a lot of scrub and a lot of
dead oil.
Huge.
Oil rigs that are just sitting there doing nothing except littering the countryside. But it was a great trip. I mean, it was an exciting trip.
What were the gas prices in Texas? You'd think it'd be low because it has all that oil.
No, believe it or not, they were around $2.09.
Yeah.
We did hit some places that, coming back through, we hit $1.99. But we noticed the prices as we got up this way were, of course, a little higher. And we had great weather, though, coming back until we hit great old New York State.
Of course.
We came in on that last Saturday night, when, of course, that snowstorm, or blizzard, I should say, came through Buffalo. And we got it, and we wound up following a snowplow all the way from Buffalo to Batavia.
Yep.
It's nice that the road is plowed, but they go so darn slow.
30 miles an hour from the Buffalo exit to Batavia. And then there was nothing. But it's good to be back, and Yeah. Still trying to catch up on my sleep. You don't realize what that takes out of you, driving 4 days in a row, on an average of 700 miles an hour. And then I was sharing that one story.
A day.
Pretty sure you meant 700 miles a day.
700 miles a day. What did I say?
700 miles an hour.
No.
That's not driving. That's flying.
An airplane.
If you're going 700 miles an hour, there better be a cockpit around you.
Oh, that was the other thing. Flying out there?
Yeah.
That's the first time I've flown in over 20 years.
Oh, boy. It was a different experience, wasn't it? I have to tell you, I hate flying. And it's not fear of flying. It's fear of the friggin' airport.
Going through security.
They should just be honest and load us on with pitchforks. I don't.
It was like,
I understand they have a tough job. And I get that. I absolutely get that. But, and the people, honestly, the TSA people, I'm not talking about them. They've been polite. And the people at the counters have all been polite. But it is a cattle moving business.
Yeah.
And that's simple fact of life.
On one other side note, in case Rob's trying to get a hold of me, Rob, you can't text me today. My phone's still sitting at home on my desk, so nobody can reach me. Oops.
All right, but you can reach us by giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And here comes the news. The New York State government has filed a lawsuit against Charter and its Time Warner Cable subsidiary. The suit alleges that Time Warner Cable systematically and intentionally under-delivered on its commitments to improve broadband service and oversold its network in New York, causing widespread speed slowdowns and performance issues. It contains some intriguing details about how Time Warner Cable allegedly manipulated speed tests conducted by the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC uses measurement equipment in the homes of more than 4,000 internet subscribers across the U.S. to produce its annual Measuring Broadband America, or MBA, report, which compares actual internet speeds to the speeds promised by broadband providers. But Time Warner Cable played a few tricks to get better marks than it should have in the tests. According to the lawsuit filed in the New York State Supreme Court by New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, God love him. According to the lawsuit, Time Warner Cable used one tactic that an employee described as lipstick on a pig. In another case, a TWC executive wrote an email saying, "We just have to make it work temporarily in order to boost the FCC speed test scores." Schneiderman accused TWC of providing customers with older generation cable modems that couldn't produce the speeds customers paid for. TWC assured the FCC that it would replace the deficient modems for all of its subscribers. Based on this assurance, the FCC excluded poor results from its annual report. But while TWC did replace the modems of FCC panelists and instructed customer service reps to give the panelists VIP treatment, the company at the same time, aggressively pushed other subscribers in New York to pay to upgrade their internet service plans without ever checking whether the modems, at least to those subscribers, were capable of actually supporting their new speed plans. Even when TWC customers had the latest equipment in their homes, they often didn't receive promised speeds because the network wasn't upgraded, the lawsuit also alleges. TWC used a few methods to hide the network's poor performance in speed tests, Snyderman claimed. In June 2013, TWC's then head of strategy wrote in an email that our FCC speed test scores are like watching a slow motion train wreck. We need to get in front of this. One thing I think we may need to be prepared to do is just give more ports to Cogent during sweeps month. We don't have to make any promises. We just have to make it work temporarily. Snyderman's office drew on three sources of data to conclude that Time Warner customers were, and I quote, "dramatically shortchanged on both speed and reliability," unquote. The data included FCC tests, speedtest.net results, and consumer tests arranged by the state itself. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Somebody asked me this week, who is Francis? I don't remember. It was an email I got somewhere in our first year on the air.
First or second year.
And she said, you got to tell people it's with a Y because if you go to Sound Bites with an I, it's a whole different company in England.
She kept getting
the company in England
that
does, I think, hearing aids or something. I don't know what they do. At any rate, the poll is, are you getting the speed you were promised from Time Warner? And your choices are yes, even better, and pretty much yeah, not even close, and laughing too hard to click. So far, pretty much yeah is ahead with 10 votes, followed closely, laughing too hard to click with 9 votes, followed by yes, even better, and only 3 of you say not even close. But we know you'll have a lot more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, the first link there is the forums, and the second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the first item in the poll discussion is 4Feb17, Time Warner deceived the FCC in speed tests. 4 people have already posted. We would love for you to add your voice to that list. And, of course, you can call us, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
2 is up to 10, isn't it?
two is up to 10, right? It's the weasel words that let them get out of it. And of course, I should mention that if you want to read a lot more about this and in depth by with some insanely great reporting, then you want to go to stopthecap.com.
And Phil from stopthecap.com will be speaking at Apple Cider this week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. at East High School, corner of Main and Culver. Go to the Ohio Street entrance is the easiest way to get into the forum room. And I'm sure he's going to be talking about that. There are rumors that Verizon is now looking to buy Spectrum. Well, now that merger, you know, the Time Warner Charter merger is done, Verizon said, maybe we want that. Because, of course, AT&T bought, DirectPC.
Right.
And their internet business and their I don't think they own HughesNet, but they own the direct PC satellite end of it as well. Let's merge all these giant companies together, make even more giant companies, and cut down the competition.
Well, and exactly, that's the big thing right there. Of course, it would be really lovely if Time Warner did buy Spectrum, and then they gave us all the unlimited video streaming that the folks from Sprint all get.
Yep.
But of course, Verizon's never been good about unlimited data. So
right.
Who knows what that'll do. At any rate, well, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Mike from Caledonia, New York. Hiya, Mike.
Hi,
what's
up, guys? I have a locally built desktop computer. It's got 8 gig of RAM. It's an AMD Athlon 260x2 processor, and it seems for some reason when I go online, mostly all of a sudden the keyboard stops responding. I type and it takes forever for the words to catch up. When I try to use the mouse, I can't scroll at all. I did a memory test and a CPU test, and both passed.
So you did the memory test, and what happened?
It passed.
Oh, it passed. Yeah. So this really, if you're using the system, like running any local program, it's fine.
Yes, it seems to be fine.
What are you using as your web browser?
Either Google or Firefox. I go through both.
And it happens with both of them?
Yeah.
What OS is it? Windows what?
It's a Linux.
Oh, Linux.
Yeah, it's Ubuntu 16.04.
Okay. That's interesting. And have you run Top?
Have I run what?
Okay. What you need to do is open up a terminal program.
Yeah.
And type the word Top, T-O-P.
Okay.
And hit Enter.
Okay.
And what that will do is show you all the programs that are running. And it'll keep the ones using the most CPU at the top.
Okay.
So if you start up your web browser, well, start up Top first.
Right.
Leave it running, then start your web browser and take a look at what Top is doing. That'll tell you where your issue is.
Okay. Now, I did, when I click on system diagnostics, I guess it shows me how the memory is going.
Yeah.
And it is just all over the place when it's not working correctly. It's shooting up to 100% and down to zero and meeting loops in the middle. It's just very weird.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking there's something running in the background that you need to stop.
Yeah, okay. Some process is using up that memory, so the keyboard can't keep up with it.
Now, I will say that most browsers will use all the available memory when they can.
Okay.
So that's not as big a tell. Running Top, which shows you the programs that are running, is a much better indication of where your issue is.
Okay.
And what extra plugins you may have.
Right.
They don't have Flash for Linux, do they?
Chrome does use its own version of Flash.
So you can't remove it then. But check your plugins and extensions and see if anything anything weird got in there. There is a way to start Chrome and Firefox without any add-ons. Hold the Shift key down or Option key down, something like that, when you launch the program.
Okay.
Some detective work to find out what's taking up the memory and what process is running, trying to eat up all your CPU so nothing else can run.
Right. So okay. Do that, run top, and then that'll give you some indication of what's going on, and then we can go from there.
Okay, sounds good. I will try it.
All right, excellent. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and truly grateful to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we've got Mark from Greece on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Going back to what you were saying about the Time Warner Speed thing.
Yeah.
You know, ever since I went to them, I've always gotten better than what I paid for.
Yeah.
And I feel very lucky with that. You know, I pay for the 15 megabit package, and I average... even during the middle of the day, 18, 19 at some points.
Nice.
And I can't complain there. You know, I do slow down a little bit here and there at night, but that even gets me maybe just below what I'm paying for, and not
right.
much.
Right.
So, but then you've got my sister who lives on the other side of Greece, and they sold her the 50 megabit package, and she's never been able to get anywhere near it.
As right. most folks can't. I mean, 15 megabits is technically obtainable on most of the stuff on cable. But when you start pushing to 50, and if you listen to their ads, they'll say up to 50.
Right.
They never say guaranteed because
right.
there's always a determination of how many people are in the D-Slam, how many are on at that particular time in your neighborhood. There's all a lot of different factors. Yes, they can achieve 50 in an ideal world, but we don't live in that.
Well, right. that's assuming...
Now, we had to go to the cable store to take care of some stuff for her quite a few months ago. And the gentleman, I asked him, because she didn't want to ask him, I asked him about it, and he goes, let me check your stuff. And he's going through her stuff, and he's taking his time, and he looks, and he goes, you know what? He goes, your modem is not
problem.
Able to even... go that high. He goes, your modem is only going to manage about 20.
Yep.
He goes, you know, or maybe 30. He goes, if you're on the 30 package. But he goes, this modem's not going to do it. He goes, you really need to turn your modem in.
Yeah, and a lot
and
of times...
a new modem. He says, and you may be able to, you know, probably get 40 to 50, he said, depending on what's going on. But at what she's at now... she can't even use Hulu unless she goes down to the lowest video quality.
Yep. And here's the thing. Well, that has to do also, there's several things at work here. First, she's probably got a DOCSIS 2 modem. Most people in Rochester do. Mm-hmm. And the maximum speed of that modem is 38 megabits.
And most people have the modem they got with their Time Warner service 10, 15 years ago.
Right, which may be a DOCSIS 1, which is still 38 megabits. But the point is that unless you've got a DOCSIS 3 modem, which is 152 megabits down and 108 up, you'll never get higher than at maximum 38 megabits.
Right.
Now, let's add to that how many people are on her head end. When you get a cable to your house, it comes out of your house, it goes to the pole, and it eventually goes to what's called a head end, and that's the thing that feeds the neighborhood. In general, on any Ethernet cable anywhere on Earth, if you get more than 100 people on that cable, on that connection, then you're going to start getting collisions, which means resends, which translates to slower for you.
Right.
So if there are more than 100 people on her head end, in fact, if there's probably more than 70 or 75 people on her head end, she's going to be experiencing slowdowns for that, too.
Right.
Which is why, by the way, your system gets slower in the evening when all the kids are home and on than it is in the middle of the day or at 3 a.m.
Right.
So the point here is that there are a lot of mitigating factors, which, of course, is why people like Time Warner say up to.
Right.
Right. And I do understand that. But when you're paying for 50 and your maximum is 38, that's the sort of thing that Schneiderman is suing them for.
One thing I'd have questions is, all right, if they're selling you that package, shouldn't them as a company, and I know this is probably a dream world, ask, okay, what modem do you have?
No, they know what modem you have. They have a database that has what modem you have.
Because the MAC address is assigned to your account.
Right. Yeah, so why sell them a package when you know darn well that's false advertising?
Well,
you know
darn well the answer to that, because if they can take your money without providing you more service, they will do that gladly.
And all the customer has to do is run down to the Time Warner store and get a new modem.
Right. So it's really
but they should be telling the customer. Yeah. But they should be telling them that, oh, by the way, your current modem, you need to come down and exchange your modem because the current modem you have isn't going to be able to handle it.
They're not going to bother
and that. On the
like
other
said,
side of that, when you do get a technician at your house, who knows how many new modems they might have in the truck or what he's just got left over from the last service call. So if you have a service call come over, they put a new modem in. Is it brand new? Is it an older style? Now, I do have to say, at our office, we just switched to the new Spectrum Business Class, because they had a deal for 60, which was a lot better than the 5 we were getting on our previous provider. We got a brand new modem, and our first speed test was 70.
Yep.
All right. So. Because we have a brand new cable run to our office and a brand new modem, so we're getting what we're paying.
And there probably aren't 100 people on your head end,
right?
Out where you are,
yeah.
There's one solution:
green light.
Green light.
I knew you were going to say that. I will say that I get, I'm paying.
We don't want to hear it.
Okay, let me just say that I'm ecstatically happy.
Well, he's
grinning from ear to ear if you can't see him.
I am. This is me grinning.
I basically told my sister, I said, you know, why don't you save some money? I said, and see how you do at a slower speed. I said, I stream Hulu and Netflix at 15. Like I said, I'm getting, usually 18 is where I'm usually at. I said, I don't buffer. I run the app at the highest video quality. I don't buffer. I said, your modem's the same as my modem, which it is. It's the same exact model. And I said, save yourself some money and see how you do at the slower speed.
Yep.
And
she can always go back up.
Yeah,
they'll always take more money.
Up. And, she's reluctant to try it. I said, it can't do any worse now. I said, you're watching Hulu at dial-up speed.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And maybe her head end
and how many people there are and everything else. So.
Well, it's going to end up being my job.
Yeah, of course it is.
Like I've told you in the past, I'm the IT guy for everybody I know.
Yep.
Lucky me.
Very lucky. At least you know people, so there's a good thing. So for everyone else listening, if you're not getting the speed you think you should be getting, the first question to ask Time Warner is, which modem do I have? If they say DOCSIS 1 or DOCSIS 2...
Or they don't know.
Or they know.
they know.
Just have to look it up. If they say DOCSIS 1 or DOCSIS 2, your maximum possible speed is 38 megabits per second down.
And folks should be periodically, checking before they go and call. They should first go to the speed test. And on any service, whether it's Frontier, whether it's Time Warner, you can do Google speed test.
Speedtest.net.
You can run the test, and it will tell you what you're getting.
I like speedof.me because it doesn't use Flash. It's straight HTML.
Right.
Now, does it make any sense that a lot of times I get better speed outside of the network? Like if I do their network speed test, and then I go out and I do another speed test from somewhere else?
Yes.
That makes sense. Better speed outside the network?
Sure. Because think about it as a series of connections. You to the head end, the head end to the office, and the office down the hall to the machine that's running the speed test. Okay?
Right.
If the connection from you to the head end is great, but the head end to the office is poor, you'll get a slower speed test from there than if you go from your place to the head end, which is great, and then the head end to somebody else out on the internet, which may also be great, and that's a better speed. Make sense?
Yeah, it does, now that I think about it.
Yeah, so, you definitely want to start by calling Time Warner and finding out what modem you have. If you're paying for more than 38 megabits per second and you don't have a DOCSIS 3 modem, make them give you, replace your modem with a DOCSIS 3
and
modem.
One of the problems is Time Warner sells their packages by name. So they've got standard, they've got turbo, they've got, enhanced, and then ultra. You don't know what speeds those are supposed to be. So
right.
you may have to call them and ask them what speed you should be getting.
Right.
Well, that's all on their website. I've looked at that because the packages with those names, and you look, and it tells you up to right in the package in the small writing, but it is there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, as we've said before, it's weasel words, but understandably so, because they don't control the internet.
Right.
Right. So if you go to Apple and you get very fast download, and you go to Microsoft and get a slower download, that's not Time Warner's fault.
Right. Well, you're only as fast as the server is at the other end.
Right.
And I get that.
Right. So it's hard sometimes to know. But basically the idea is that you want to at least know that you're capable of getting the fastest speed you're paying for. And if you have a DOCSIS 1 or DOCSIS 2 modem, your maximum speed will be 38 megabits.
Well, I guess that answers the question.
There you go.
Thanks so much.
Yep, Burr. Have fun.
You too. Thanks.
You remember Jerry told a story once about his internet went down and he was just so busy he never got a chance to call him and figured someone else would. And two or three days later, it was still down, so he finally got a chance to call him. He was the only one on his head end in a new housing project. No one else called because no one else was on his connection.
Right. And that's basically the way it is on Greenlight as well. I mean, I'm basically the one person to the big connection.
And that's one of the weasel words that a lot of the advertisements use. And your connection's not shared. Yes, it is.
It's always shared
somewhere. It's just, is it shared closer to your house or closer to the company?
Yeah, right. I have to say every once in a while I get a call from somebody at Time Warner who wants to know why I'm not bundling.
Oh, I've gotten a couple of those.
I get that all the time. And I tell them, look, I don't want a phone. I have my cell phone. I don't use a home landline anymore. Well, you should do internet with us because we can give you 20, 30 megabits for $70 or whatever the number is.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, I'm getting 100 megabits for $50. And they invariably will say, yeah, we can't do that. Yeah, and not for that amount. You can't. Yep. No, that's right.
And they can't even get close to those speeds.
That's right. And, well, that's... Yeah, they can. I mean, you can if you pay for it and if you've got the right this and that and yada, 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 yada. But I consistently beat that 100 megabits, and so I'm happy.
Well, I did read a... someone filed a patent for a process to run fiber optic inside water pipes.
Yeah.
Because the big problem on getting faster speeds is you got to lay down fiber. You know, the copper just can't handle it,
right.
Which means you got to dig up everywhere. So most places already have, water and sewer pipes. And so putting a little tiny, half inch, maybe even quarter inch wide fiber line that might, have terabits of capacity inside the existing water pipe, without needing to dig up anything new, you just run this new wire. That should really help putting new faster services in.
Yep. Yeah. And we're seeing that. We're also seeing communities now that are abandoning all wires for wireless. Companies that are putting in mesh wireless in neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so much cheaper.
And it's cheaper for them, and they can cover without needing as much in the way of right-of-way, et cetera, et cetera. And they can get to places that it would be difficult to get to. You had that issue of crossing a road one time. You could see the pole from where you were, but to get across the road was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and who was going to pay for that? Well, you don't have that problem if they can stick a wireless antenna up on that pole.
That's one of the problems we did run into is they didn't bury our wire. They just ran because it's winter and it's too hard to dig it up. So hopefully, before we have to mow the grass, they'll come back and bury the wire.
Right. All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 38 minutes after the hour. It's the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Dave from Bergen, New York on the line. How are things out in Bergen, Dave?
Hey, pretty good. A little chilly, but it's not a bad day.
Summer's almost over, man. Get
over. Yeah,
yeah. 35 days to spring. No, 34 days to spring.
There you go.
That sounds good. Hey, I have a quick question about smartphones. I just bought one last week. You know, before I just had a cheapy, you know, flip phone.
Yeah.
And
what'd you
so
get?
I took some photos, and I just wanted to transfer them to my computer. And I'm running Linux Mint 18. On the computer, so I plugged in the USB thing, and it popped up, you know, on the desktop, and it opened up, you know, had the name of the phone and everything, but the file manager window just shows nothing.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's a way, I mean, I emailed the pictures to myself, and that worked great, but right. If I had like 100 photos or something, and I wanted to do them all at once, right. How do I do that?
What phone do you have?
LG X okay. Power.
It's an Android phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, there are a couple of things you can do.
Yeah.
One, if your laptop, if your desktop, or whatever your Linux Mint machine is,
yeah.
has Bluetooth, you can transfer them via Bluetooth.
Oh.
And that's just a matter of first you have to pair them, and then there's a in the phone, when you go to share, one of the things is share to Bluetooth.
Oh, yeah.
And then on your desktop, it'll come up and say, oh, your phone is, whatever it's called, is trying to connect. Do you want to accept the connection? Absolutely. And foop, they go. The other thing is there's two, and I can't remember the names. There's two ways that when you connect, and iPhones do this too.
Yeah, storage is what usually you want it to be, right. So then it just sees it as a camera.
When you have a connection, a USB connection to your phone, there's two ways that it can connect. And one of them is as a hard drive.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want, to be able to see the hard drive in your window and transfer files just by dragging them.
Oh, okay, without having to use the Bluetooth.
Right, without having to use the Bluetooth. But
how can I do that Linux Mint, dude?
Well, it's not Mint that does it. It's the phone that does it. And I'm looking that up.
Okay.
Now, you can also run Google Photos. And so all of your photos that you take on the phone will automatically get uploaded to the Google Cloud.
I do have a Google account.
Right.
I've got all that stuff on the phone,
And then you can see those pictures in your Google Photos on your computer. Does Google Photos have a Linux desktop version? Otherwise, you would have only see it in the
you can do it through the browser. Through the browser and save
and
it from there just as easily.
Download them from the browser, yep. And then it happens sort of automatically because it goes through the cloud.
Yeah.
So you can be away from home taking pictures, and whoever's at home can watch the pictures show up on the computer.
Yeah. Oh,
which can be a bad thing.
Really.
If your wife doesn't know you're away.
I don't like computers either, so.
Yep.
Huh. Okay. So, to do the phone, what do you know what settings in Android I would do to make it look like it's a hard drive if I tried to just plug it into the computer?
I don't remember it off the top of my head, and I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Do I need, like, to download a program or a different file browser for the phone or something like that?
You shouldn't need to.
There are programs that do that. You put a program on each device and it copies for you, but you shouldn't need that.
Okay.
And we're both frantically Googling.
It should be under
USB on the go or USB flash storage.
Storage. I'm looking, I'm trying to find. Everything moved with the newest version of the operating system, and I've never looked this up because I've never needed to. So I'm not sure quite where it is at this point. If anybody knows, call in and tell us, will you, for Pete's sake?
It's not Wi-Fi. It's not Bluetooth. It's not more networks. It's not display. It's not notification. It's storage. Storage? No. No. I don't know. I don't off the top of my head know, and I'm sorry. I should know.
Okay.
I should have this in my head, and I do not.
I'll have to look around. I thought I'd save, you know, trying to Google it and find out if you guys knew offhand first, but...
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. I don't have it.
The other option is if the phone has a SD card in it to store photos on, you pull the card out, plug it into the computer with an SD card.
Yeah, that's what I do with my camera. But yeah, mm-hmm. It's got the tiny, the tiny little one. Okay. Okay, so there's a few different ways I could do it. I've never tried Bluetooth. I wonder if I should try that. Would that be pretty simple?
It's actually very simple once you've paired the devices.
Yeah.
Right, so if they pair just like everything else, you set them both in go look for another device mode, and then it'll pop up and you say this one, and the other one gives you a box, and you type in the code that you get from the first box, and you know how to do
that. Okay.
And then once that's done, you just tap the pictures you want, and there's a choice to share, and one of the choices under share is Bluetooth.
Okay.
And you hit Bluetooth, and then on the desktop, you'll get a little window that says, "Oh, Bluetooth wants to send you a file," or rather, your phone wants to send you a file. Do you accept? You say yes, and then whoosh, down they come, and they should be in your downloads folder, and you can do anything you want with them. Now I say whoosh, it probably not that fast, but the point is, you just sit there and wait, and it all happens, and it's done.
Connect as media device seems to be the word that LG uses.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Media Sync, MTP.
Media Sync, okay.
MTP, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
The computer just says, oh, here's a camera. I'll copy the files from it.
Okay. All right, I'll try that, too. Great. I got a few options. Thanks.
Yep.
Right, there you go.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, oh, there it is. Okay. All right, hold on a second. I'm sure he's still listening because everybody always is. So under settings, storage, see, I don't have it. So I think they've changed it in the new version.
Do you have to go into the SD card first?
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think so. No, I guess I don't know where it is. Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It's
and you have a pure Google phone, right?
No, I have a Samsung phone, so everything is wrong. So
yeah, I've got a pure Google phone.
Yeah,
and that makes a difference depending on whether it's straight Android or whether it's the HTC overlay or the Samsung mm-hmm. overlay. The settings are different on each OS.
One other thing I loved about my Google phone was it didn't come with all that other what they called preloaded stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that comes in there. You can't get rid of that. I don't want it. Too bad. You know, it just came with it. And Google just, left it all out. And it's been a great phone. The camera is fantastic for taking pictures and everything else. I've been very impressed with it so far.
Well, I did have a customer this week that accidentally deleted the Mail app from his phone.
Ooh.
It used to be on the iPhone you could not delete the Apple apps.
Right.
And so there's always these apps, you know, like the Stocks app. I never go into Stocks that people wanted to delete these apps. Most people just stuck it in the folder and ignored it. So a system or two ago, Apple gave you the option of deleting the Apple apps. And now people accidentally delete them and don't know how to get them back.
Right.
So you can't win either.
Give them a little and they go dangerous.
Yep.
It's like here. We always have refused to tell folks how to get into the registry because we don't want to be responsible for it.
It's too dangerous.
Yeah, it's like giving people a loaded gun because all it takes is one wrong thing, and boom, you're hosed.
And the computer will stop booting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. TP mode or PTP mode, I suppose, but it's USB mass storage, and I don't know how to get thar from yar.
Did you write down the exact model of his phone?
I did.
Sometimes that helps to add to your. So LG,
no, I didn't.
So LG may not be enough in the search phrase. You need to know the model too, so you know what the OS layer on top of it is.
Right. All right. Oh, we didn't leave the area much. We're calling. We're talking to Pat from Batavia. Hiya, Pat. What's up?
Oh, not too much. Just a couple things. Steve, are you broadcasting YouTube today?
Yeah, I was about to say I'm trying to get it started. So the short answer is no. It's not up yet.
You did mention once before that problem about plugging in the wrong hole.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, if that would help you out, just a reminder.
Yep, right, plugging in the right place. But my computer is sending the stream to YouTube, but YouTube isn't seeing it yet. So I'm trying to figure out why. I just rebooted during that last break, and I'm trying to get everything back up and running.
Well,
again.
You were given the old government warning or the old Time Warner, starting soon. Is that
yes.
what I was watching?
Yeah, it's
starting soon.
Yeah.
So is the show that comes after your show, too.
Yeah. And the one after that.
Amen. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Nick, you showed me that AirDroid program so I could...
Yep. I was just going to mention that, yep.
Link my computer and my phone.
Yep.
And what you didn't do, though, is upgrade my own personal memory so I could remember how to do that. So isn't it wonderful we learn all these new things and ways to do things? And now I'm going to have to start all over because I think I wrote down passwords and that somewhere. And I have no idea, so... I got thinking about that. It probably doesn't pertain to the last person you were talking to. I was in the other room trying to run my AirDroid.
Yep, and in fact, it does pertain to Dave. So Dave from Bergen, still listening, I know. And there is a program called AirDroid, AirDroid. And you run it. You run it on your phone. And then you go to, and it gives you an address. And you have to have wireless turned on your phone. So your phone has to be connected to your wireless network. So it gives you an IP address, and you go put that IP address in your browser. 192.168.1.99:8888, for example. And what that does is AirDroid runs a little browser on your phone. So when you go to a web server, rather, on your phone. So when you go to your browser on your desktop, you can now connect to the phone. You can open it up. You can copy out all the pictures. You can do all of that stuff over your Wi-Fi network if you want to. And that was the other thing I was going to say to Dave, and then I forgot because I got involved in trying to figure out how to MTP it. But Pat is completely right. You can use AirDroid to do all that. AirDroid is very cool because it also lets you text through your phone from your desktop.
I enjoy that, having a full keyboard to text.
Yep. And you can do other things. Be careful if you're going to run AirDroid because you can do stupid things to your phone through AirDroid.
If you leave it running when you're, say, at like a coffee shop, then anyone else can browse your phone too.
Well, you have to say yes. It comes up with a warning message, but many people just tap those anyway.
Okay, yep.
So
you can also delete apps on there too, which I have discovered. Next time I wanted a 16-gigabyte phone. I think that's probably smaller than I will get next time around because I'm running at like 1 to 2 gigabytes free space most all times.
Yep, and most people want more. I absolutely know that.
I have an entirely different question. That just popped up. If you, I don't know if you want to think over the break or
go ahead with your next question. I think we've got time at least to get the question in.
Very good. Now, I just prefaced a little bit. Went to a convention of blind individuals, and this is not really a joke because my wife's blind. Actually, I could say this. You probably can't. They had name tags in print and braille.
Yeah.
And no, they didn't actually go feeling each other's name tags and all that. But it got me thinking of what the next technology will be so that when you got close to a person with a name tag that was somehow sent off a signal, I'm thinking kind of wireless.
Yeah, there's RFID beacons that do that.
Yep.
There are things now that do it?
Oh, yeah. They're called RFID, radio frequency ID.
Okay, let me write this down here.
RFID.
Yeah, I have a notepad here. So,
They're essentially the same things that they use, like in clothing stores, where you get that tag attached.
When you try to steal clothes.
Right, exactly. When you go through the field, it beeps. Well, this can do the same thing, but it can also send actual information. So if you've got a program that's listening for RFID,
okay,
it can pull in those data, and then I suppose if you're visually impaired, it can read them to you.
Oh, so it's like the little assistant whispering in your ear.
And this will work out with a number of people standing around, and whoever you're closest to it would identify that person?
Yeah.
Each one has their own unique ID badge, yeah.
Right, and that ID badge would have their name and their information on it. RFID tags are not terribly difficult to program. Yeah.
This is Joan. She's married to Bill. They have three kids. They were young.
Yeah, you can have all of that information in there. I will say this. I took a long trip across the United States one time, and in one of the public restrooms somewhere on one of the throughways, there was a sign on the wall that said, "Do not touch the wall." And underneath it, it said the same thing in Braille.
Yeah.
And I thought,
how do you know that?
By the time you read that, it's too late.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyway, well, you're not touching the wall yet. You're just touching the bumps on the wall.
Weird with that is there is a. I don't know if they're required or hotels regularly will put the number of the room, but there is no standard. So if you want to go check a room, you start lower, and then it could be lower for a person in a wheelchair. So you're going to start. You're going to feel up one side, probably down the other side.
Yep.
And for every room.
Yep. 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 I understand that, and it's an issue that the ADA has.
I would think most hotels, upon seeing that somebody is blind, would tell them that you go over here to the elevator.
Well, you hope they do, yeah.
Yeah, give them directions. Most would.
They do. Generally, if you're a decent person, people will be decent back to you.
Yep. But yeah, there are RFID tags that will indeed do what you say. They're not terribly cheap, but they're not terribly expensive either.
Well, I will research it. I hear the music, so we're going to fade off to the break, which will be a little bit longer than usual. But stay tuned, and the member-supported Jazz 90.1.
What Pat said. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. This is
Soundbites.
And we're working desperately at getting the live stream up and running on YouTube, but until then, of course...
It says it's live. It says the stream status is good. It just won't play.
It just won't play. Now, I have a black screen now, though, so something happened.
But it still says offline.
But it's still offline. But at any rate, we're working on it. Speaking of working on it, it looks like Apple's big bet on building an array of services like iCloud, Apple Music, and the App Store is starting to be the big business the company hoped it would be. Wall Street and Apple had expected to return to growth this quarter following the holiday season, though it was supposedly going to be a large increment, and it was largely incremental as opposed to amazing. And while it wasn't exactly a blowout, Apple still pleasantly surprised Wall Street with better results than was expected. Apple said it sold 78.3 million iPhones, its main growth engine, whereas Wall Street expected them to sell 76.3 million, so they sold 2 million more. Which is pretty good, but not spectacular. Some outlets were touting it as spectacular, really $2 million, not spectacular for Apple. Apple services, meanwhile, were its fastest growing business and may become one of Apple's most powerful businesses in the coming years. Looking at the return to growth from last quarter, it also seemed apparent that Apple's slight jump from the first quarter last year was significantly buoyed by its ever-growing services revenue. Apple services revenue was up 18% year over year in the first quarter, coming in at, are you ready, $7.2 billion. It was our best quarter ever for services, Apple CEO Tim Cook said on the earnings call. App Store customers broke all-time records in the holiday quarter, including $3 billion in purchases in December alone. Let me repeat that, $3 billion in purchases in December alone, making it the App Store's single best month ever. Cook said the company expected to double the size of their services business in the next 4 years, expecting the company's services revenue to be the size of a Fortune 100 company this year. That's right. Apple expects the services business to be as big as a Fortune 100 company this year. For years, Apple has continued to incrementally build a strong business off its App Store and iCloud, among other services, and it looks like the bet is starting to pay off. Apple frequently notes that its services revenue is larger than some major tech companies in the market, and the pieces like App Store revenue and Apple Music subscriptions are starting to come together into a fully-fledged business that may prove to be another engine while it figures out how to reignite the iPhone and its other products. The jump from the same quarter last year when the company reported $75.9 billion in revenue marks a return to growth for the first time in several quarters for Apple. While this quarter wasn't a critical one for Apple necessarily, Wall Street's been expecting its growth story to come to an end at some point, it's setting the stage for an important year. Apple is entering a new phase of the company where it has to either come out with a breakout innovation on the smartphone that will boost it back into growth and figure out how to diversify its revenue beyond just phones and tablets. Services may be what it's looking for. So, how much did you spend on Apple services last year? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415.
The numbers Apple posts are just amazing. They're selling almost a million phones a day, bucket loads of money, but they're not growing as fast as they used to, which is why Wall Street doesn't like them.
Right, and let's face it, their customers, as we've said many times, are the shareholders, not you. So they have to keep the shareholders happy, not you.
Yep.
Right, and so, yes, and so most of us, certainly, in many companies, would be thrilled with $79 million, billion dollars in a quarter.
That's a billion dollars a day you're making.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
No.
No.
Well, don't forget, there's 90 days in a quarter, and they only made $78 billion.
So
it's not quite $1 billion a day.
Don't talk to me until it's $1 billion.
Exactly,
a day.
Exactly. So that's the deal, and it certainly is a lot of money, but it's not enough money. And that's, of course, the issue we're seeing everywhere. Services, which are iCloud and the App Store and Apple Music, are really starting to build themselves up, and theoretically they will be as large as many Fortune 100 businesses by the end of this year. And Apple is really looking to that in order to make it a more profitable company in terms of what the shareholders expect. Well,
and there's also supposed to be not live, but first-run TV shows coming. The Planet of the Apps reality show is currently in production, and they're working on the other ones, too.
Well, plus now, we're only a month or so away from when now the Google tablets, the Chromebooks, are going to be able to run apps on that. Because, as we were saying at the Christmas time, you did not see the big push for computers, as in years past. Right. It was always, this latest and greatest, whether it was a PC or a Mac, you got to go out and get this latest and greatest machine. Everybody is downsizing, going to either tablets or using their phones and getting by with, notebooks.
Right.
I mean, small laptops, because everybody's putting stuff up on the cloud. It's ridiculous not to when Google offers, so much space photos. You can store as many as you want up there for free as long as they're 16K or less.
Yep.
I mean,
16 megapixels. 16 megapixels.
Megapixel, thank right. you. But, I mean, you know, I've got thousands up there, and yep. it's silly not to, especially when folks, you know, their hard drive crashes and, you know, trying to get back stuff, you can't. You know, unless you want to send it off to a company, say, like Drive Savers, and you're going to pay a big buck for that. And they can't always guarantee it, depending on, where, you know, if it had a bad head crash on it.
Right.
Because it might have scraped right through that data where you needed it, and they can't get it.
That's exactly right. And I've said this before. I've got 19 gigs of storage available to me on Google Drive.
Yep.
And I've used 3 gig, and a gig of that is in Google Photos because I've got a bunch of stuff up there that's bigger than 16 megapixels.
Yep.
Gmail is using a gig because of all the attachments,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't erased anything since I got Gmail, frankly. But Drive is only using 561 meg, and I've got 20,000 documents up there.
Yeah, and if you use Google Docs, again, there's free
that's
storage.
Right. That's right.
And, you know, there's so many features that folks haven't checked out within, you know, what Google, oh, they just think as a, you know, oh, yeah, I got Google, you know, I do my Gmail through them, and, yeah, it's great for searching.
Yep.
But it's got so many other things that, you know, over in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see it looks like a, almost like a little checkerboard. Folks should click on that. Because there's a drop-down menu, it shows some of the stuff. Below that is another little button that says More. And it'll show you more of the features and things that you can do within Google.
But I was with a customer this week that they've been using Google Mail for a couple of years now. And it's, well, we want a company-wide calendar that we can share our information among our people. Yeah, you have that. I showed you that a couple of years ago. It's called Google.
It's called Google
it's
Calendar.
Part, it's part of your Google services, yes.
Yeah.
Everyone has a Google Calendar. But there are two people that insist on using Outlook.
Yeah.
And Outlook will not connect to a Google Calendar.
There's always
live.
That 1%.
You can look
right.
you can look at read only.
Right.
But Outlook will not. But Windows 10 has a calendar app that works with Google just fine.
Yep.
It's just not Outlook.
Right.
So they have to click a different icon. And so okay, you have to train your people. This icon for mail, this icon for calendars.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and
right.
some people can be so stubborn. I've learned that over the years.
Yeah, well, Outlook worked at my old business because you had a Microsoft Exchange server.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we can put an Exchange server in. You're talking 5 digits.
That's exactly right.
And you want 50 people to run it? Oh, yeah, add another digit.
At least one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can remember back in the days when it was Windows XP, and I was over to this one business, and you know, we gave the class and show folks how to shut down because they were new into Windows and that, and showed them the new Windows XP and this and that. And, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I'm familiar with blah, 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 blah. But then we used to get this one lady
mm-hmm.
and constantly go into her bus. My machine's crashing. Won't start up right. So I'd go in, I'd check it out. It's working fine. Go back, you know, no, I'll go back to the bus. I got it up. It's running. I don't know what the heck's going. There's nothing wrong with it. So, you know, all right. So, a couple days later, all of a sudden, I'm being called back in. I go back in. Still, it's working. He goes, I said, tell you what. And I had the boss come over. And I had the lady sit down there. I says, all right, go ahead and pretend that you're shutting the machine down. So, there it is, you know, the windows and everything up there. And she had one of those, her monitor sat on one of those control things.
Oh, no.
She just hit the off button.
Yep.
Kill the power.
Killed the power.
Kill the power, kill the computer.
And she, I go, wait a minute, you didn't shut down your computer. Yeah, no, I just shut it off that way. We told you that when you go to shut it down, you got to go to start button and say shut down. Oh, that takes too much time. The boss said, just looked at me and goes, I'll deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because each time I came, I was billing them. There was nothing wrong, you know?
Sure.
So he just turned, you know, like I say, a big grin. I'll deal with this.
Yep.
And I said, okay. And let us. Yeah. Didn't want to be bothered with it.
I read one the other day. Customer calls up tech support and said, my computer turned green. Okay. Well, I want you to fix it. okay. what color was it before? It was orange, and now it turned green. And so the tech is, you know, trying to look up the records, you know, what model computer is it? Well, that computer doesn't come in green. What are you talking about? He finally figured out she meant the charging plug turned green. Well, green means it's fully charged. Well, fix it. I'm sorry, ma'am. There's nothing wrong. Well, how do I make it go orange again? Unplug it for a while.
And then it'll go orange.
And then when you plug it back in, it will be orange for a while. Oh, really? Oh, just like Christmas.
Very nice. Very charming. Very lovely. Very lovely. Yeah, I had somebody call me up one time and say, is it bad when there's smoke coming out of the monitor? I worked at a bank at the time, so we owned all the computers in the building. It was easier for the auditors that way. So I said, unplug it. I will be over with a new monitor. Is it color? Dead silence on the other line. She finally says, well, it's sort of beige. Okay, I'll bring one of each, and we'll figure it out from there. Thanks. Thank you so much. But people don't know. She was very smart in her area of the bank, or she wouldn't have been in that position, right. But she just didn't know this stuff.
They're not techies.
That's the way they work. But to go back to Google Drive, the other day, I was hurting. My hands were – I have arthritis pretty bad, and I'd been outside for far too long, and I couldn't bend my hands. But I had some work I had to do. I had a report I had to finish. So I sat down in front of Google Docs and turned on voice typing and just dictated the entire document. I had to go back and fix a couple of things once my hands warmed up. Mm-hmm. But I was able to sit there and speak as fast as I wanted to.
Get majority of your work done.
Yeah, and I got it all done. There were a couple of ums and uhs that I had to cut out and things like that. And at one point, my cat was helping me, so...
Oh, there you go.
There's a couple of what apparently are meows, for all I know. But generally speaking, it was fine, and I got it all done. And that's built right into Google, just voice typing. Yep. So you can type that way, and it's pretty cool. It's there are a lot of features to Google Suite, as they're calling it this week, that are very, very cool. And like I said, I do all my word processing, all my spreadsheets, all my presentation packages, everything through there. It does forms. It does everything. It's kind of amazing, and if you're an individual user, it's free. And if you're a company, it's a few bucks a month per user. But you get more features with that. You get there's a feature that actually includes management of the systems and everything else. And you can share calendars and you can do all of that stuff. But man, oh man, it's easy to use.
Yeah. Well, I like that feature, you know, especially with mine, when you sit there and say the phrase, it comes up and says, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when we were out in Arizona, needed to find something out, and Sandy goes, well, how are we going to do that? So my phone was over on the table. So I just turned it, and I yelled out got its attention, and all of a sudden, on the speaker... And her sister, brother-in-law, looking, where'd that come from?
Yep.
Because, you know, I'm standing there, no phone in my hand, and all of a sudden the phone comes up and gives the information. I go, that's cool. It's built in.
Right.
It's built into Google.
What I really like is the Google Home that I've got.
Oh, yeah.
The other day I was sitting petting the cat, and I wanted to listen to Jazz 90.1. My computer minute was coming up. So I just said, because with that you can also say, hey, Google. As opposed to okay. So when I say hey, I don't then start up the one on my computer or my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, Google, play Jazz 90.1. Bang, up came the stream. I was listening, hands free. It was great.
There you go.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Meenik Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. It's the truly great and grateful to be member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we are finally up with the YouTube channel. I don't think Steve did anything different. It just
I switched to Hangouts on Air instead of the streaming encoder. So if you're you'll have to close the video you're waiting to start and start the new video. But then we just found out YouTube Hangouts on Air is going to be shut down later this year.
That's right.
I don't know what was wrong with the streaming program. My streamer was sending it, but YouTube wasn't receiving it completely. And so hopefully we'll won't have that problem. It's every week it's a different problem.
Right.
No, last week was perfect. I got started before the show, I think, we started. And this week just everything went wrong. Dave's back. That's it.
It's Dave's
away again,
problem.
Dave.
And we know that. It's Dave's fault.
Well, I was just going to thank Michael for filling in for me.
He did great, didn't he?
Okay.
Yeah. No, he did great. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Pavilion, New York. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Freezing up here. Freezing.
Summer's almost over. Buddy, get over it.
My sister found a lost cat in Pavilion. So if you're missing a cat, call my sister.
No, actually, this is where people drop them off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you're not the only one who finds lost cats, like, periodically.
You're the farm upstate that people, that the animals go to.
Yeah. Fluffy went to a farm. Mm-hmm. Usually ends up in my barn doing God knows what, and I won't go into strays.
Oh, you know what.
That's what I call it. Actually, short story long, I had a contractor in my shop the other day. We got done with the project. Very good. He got paid. Everything's nice. He went to go check in on his next appointment. He pulls out a Windows phone.
Wow.
And that begs the question. Because I am, of course, the self-appointed supervisor of the Windows pay-per-play tragedy that's about to come.
Right.
And I was wondering, do you think that Microsoft would have the unmitigated arrogance to charge for the operating system on the phone?
Yes.
Well,
there's no way that they're going to hit you for your cell phone bill and then charge it for the OS too.
Well, currently Windows is free on screens 8 inches and less,
right?
Because they were trying to make people run Windows phones and Windows tablets,
right.
but the industry hasn't bothered. currently that's the way it is. That could change as well.
No, I actually have a monitor actually that's an older one that I use for and only half of it works. Maybe.
Good luck there. the basic idea in terms of Windows Phone, that's pretty much dead. It's as good as.
It's kind of neat, though. I have to admit, it was kind of, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Windows. I'm a Linux guy, but, it was kind of neat to see that. It looks good on a phone, actually.
It does look good on a phone. The problem is nobody bought them.
And maybe if enough people get used to Windows 10 and the tiles on Windows 10, they might look at a Windows phone next time.
Well, that was the point of Windows 8, of course, which everybody rebelled against.
But now that they've been forced to Windows 10.
Right. But the Lumia is pretty much dead. I don't even know if you can go to if you can get a Windows phone in a Microsoft store anymore. It's the dream of the Windows Phone is, I'm afraid, dead.
I was just wondering if those guys were that arrogant to think that they could charge you like a monthly fee and then try to hit you like the end of the year for an operating system as well.
Sure, why not? Oh. If you're willing to pay it, they're willing to take your money. So,
well, like I said before, I'm in the cheap seats waiting for this to pay off because this is going to be torches and pitchforks, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. It is. It's going to be great. What Brian is talking about, of course, is that Microsoft has said that this is the last version of Windows. 10 is the last version of Windows. And what they mean by that is, from now on, Windows will simply be called Windows. It will not have a version number, and you will not buy it. You will rent it. You will pay a fee for the privilege of running Windows on your computer, and the rumor is if you stop paying, it stops working.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to see how this pays out, but you know, I even talked to my brother-in-law. He actually does tech support and does a system administration for a pretty large company in Fairport. And he didn't even know. Over Christmas, we were discussing it, and he's like, what? And he thinks I'm full of it. I'm like, oh.
Well, you may be. That's a separate issue.
Well, I certainly am, and he is correct in that. But the fact is, there's no way.
Well, and most people don't even know they're paying for Windows now because it's included in the price of the computer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the big questions. You buy a new computer with Windows 11, which won't be numbered, but it will have a number underneath somewhere. And so the cost of Windows is in the computer. Is that for the first year or the first 2 years? We don't know. And at the end of that time, a screen's going to pop up and say you need to buy a new license to Windows. Now, we're kind of used to that now with our antivirus programs.
Right.
They're usually licensed for a year. They pop up and say subscribe again.
But most people will say, remind me later, remind me later, remind me later, and never do it.
Right.
When that happens with Windows, eventually they're going to shut you down.
Yeah, what happens then?
Right. But I was also kind of was doing mind exercises as well, because you know as well as I do, it's only going to take a couple weeks before the class action guys get going, and you won't be able to turn on the telephone or turn on the television or a billboard without. Well, did you lose your data? Were you locked out of your computer? Did you lose days of work? Yeah, I it's going to be monumental.
Right, it's going to be that unshaven guy with the Russian accent who does the commercials.
Yeah. One of the things I'm thinking is it might be similar to what happens now when the activation server chokes and suddenly your Windows thinks it's not activated. You can launch a web browser to go to the Microsoft Store to buy a new copy of Windows.
Yep.
That's the only thing that will work.
I've never had that happen. To be honest with you, back in the day when I was using Windows, you want to bash these guys, but, it really is good stuff and it works well, for what it is. And I did appreciate the fact that they supported legacy programs. They didn't, and no offense, Steve, but, Apple's real good at just, leaving you on an island somewhere. And, Microsoft was really good about keeping things running up until about 8 or so.
Yep.
So I respected that greatly because I use junk. I'm not afraid to pick garbage. I'm not afraid to, buy some at a swap meet or a garage sale. So.
Right.
A lot of that was because of the companies that don't upgrade their computers, and they need to have the old stuff working to run their company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, thanks, guys. It's an excellent show, as per usual, and thank you very much. And when I get my opportunity, we'll be sending you some money.
Perfect. That's what I like to hear, Brian. Thanks.
See you, guys.
Yeah, it's...
According to Windows Central, the best Windows phone of 2017 is the Lumia 950 XL.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. I can sleep better now.
Yeah. Right. I know people who love their Windows phones, and I'm not saying anything against them, but Microsoft is the one who's decided that that's never going to be a big moneymaker for them.
I've never seen... I've never run into anybody with a Windows phone. It's usually either the Apple phone or an Android.
They're nice. A couple of them are kind of slick and interesting. Others look like they were invented in the 50s in Russia. They're big, clunky things with rivets. But other than that, they run fine. It's not that they don't run well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they don't do good things. It's just that, it's Apple or Android at this point, and Microsoft is just not selling significant numbers of phones. Now, mm-hmm. again, what's right. significant for Windows would be astonishing for you individually. So when you look at the numbers, you think, seriously, mm-hmm. there's that many of them out there and they're not, and they think that's a failure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, in terms of the industry, Apple just made about close to $1 billion a day in December selling phones. So, yeah, unless you've got $1 billion a day, you're a failure. And unless you're willing to wait it out, and Microsoft doesn't have the greatest patience.
Well, that's also coming out. That report, though, is coming off the last quarter for the holiday season, correct?
Right.
Which you would assume.
Traditionally a good quarter for everybody.
It should be very high numbers. If not, I think that would throw stockholders, investors in a panic.
Right.
If they didn't, tout numbers like that, especially for a holiday season.
Right. But, they said, well, we sold 78 million iPhones, and we expected to sell 76 million iPhones. So we sold 2 million more. Well, you beat expectations. That's good. 2 million is really a tiny percentage of the number of phones that are out there.
You wonder, did they set the number low purposely?
Well, they've been losing ground for a while.
Yeah.
Part of the issue, of course, is they're high end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And most of the people who are willing to spend that kind of money on a cell phone have already spent it.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a lot of new markets to go to. One of the things is that, for example, Chromebooks just surpassed the sales of Microsoft laptops. Well, Apple laptops. Well, Apple's laptop market has been falling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of that is due to Chromebooks, but Chromebooks are inexpensive,
yeah,
and people buy multiples of them.
And some of it is to Apple's own iPad. So Apple's
products
are cannibalizing, yeah, Apple's other products.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm, exactly. In terms of tablets, again, Apple is still on top. Android is second. But in terms of desktops, particularly in the education market, it's all Chrome now. Because for the price of one MacBook, you can buy a half a dozen Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Yeah.
Which way are those people going to go? Also, they're much easier to manage. You buy a management package, depending on where you get it. They're pretty cheap. And you can manage all those Chromebooks, so you can prevent students from going to porn sites or downloading porn,
mm-hmm,
or downloading apps that you don't want them to have. Put caps on things like, you know, who can sell what to whom, so that you don't have kids... At 3 in the morning.
Locking them right down.
Right. You don't have kids at 3 in the morning.
I would like to see
buying those dollhouses.
Yeah. I would like to see the management programs getting to be a little more user-friendly so a household can manage it. Because it's common now for mom, dad, each of the kids to have a phone and a tablet and a computer. And a lot of our customers want to manage their kids' phones. It's younger and younger kids are getting smartphones.
Right.
Usually the hand-me-down phone. And they want to protect the kids. And right now the mm-hmm. management programs start about $2 per phone per month, which doesn't sound like a lot until you've got, you know, five phones in your house.
Yeah.
And that can end up.
It adds up a monthly bill.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, plus the phones. I mean, that's another thing. You know, some of these kids, like you say, mm-hmm. they want the latest and greatest phones and everything else.
Yeah, sometimes it's a hand-me-up. The kid gets the new phone, and the parents end up with the old mm-hmm. model.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but no, the Chromebooks, though, that's the other nice thing, though, too, as we've said before. They don't have to worry about the viruses and, you know, spyware, malware, and you're not paying for an operating system that you're going to get dinged now with Windows 10. Windows 10 is going to be a yearly pay service, which, you know, it was different when folks bought, say, a machine and had to pay once for Windows. That was expected. But now to switch the culture and all of a sudden say, oh, no, you're only renting it.
Right.
That's going to cause folks to rethink this because...
Well, and more importantly, as Steve said, if you buy a new... We don't know yet, of course. But if you buy a new laptop, say, and it comes with Windows on it, the cost is hidden until next year when suddenly it says, well, you're going to stop running if you don't pay again.
Yep.
That's a huge issue for people.
Well, definitely. You
know? Right. So that first year, they may get away with quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, that second year, there's going to be some.
Yeah, that's going to be an owie. And so there's
I'm expecting the calls now. And, you know, my computer's telling me I have to pay to keep using Windows. What does that mean? Well, it means you have to pay to keep using Windows.
Yeah, exactly. The rent is due. And you got to pay or you're going to get kicked out.
Yep.
It's as simple as that.
Yep. And the other thing that's really moved Chromebooks ahead is that for so many people, we just had somebody saying it today, they're the tech support for their whole family.
Yep.
Well, when one of those people says, what do I need to buy? And you know that they could live with a Chromebook, you push them into a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because A, it's cheaper, and B, and this is the more important thing, it's real easy to manage.
Yeah.
Once you get everything on it, oh, are you having a problem with it? Well, let's reboot it. And when you reboot it, it pulls up a brand new image of the operating system and everything is hunky-dory.
There you go. You're right back to where you started.
And the battery life, 10 hours and blah, 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 blah. So a lot of the people who are the home managers of their networks are steering people to Chromebooks as well. All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Now, we alluded to this earlier, but I actually have a news story about it. Google quietly announced on Tuesday that Gmail will stop supporting older versions of the Chrome browser soon in a move that will put an end, will put another nail in the coffin of Windows XP and Windows Vista.
It already has stopped supporting older versions of Firefox and Safari.
Right. Users of Chrome version 53 and older. Now, the newest version is 55, and that's been out for a while. So if you've upgraded any time in the last couple of years, you should be fine. But Chrome versions 53 and older editions of the browser could start being redirected to the basic HTML version of Gmail as early as December. Now, notice it doesn't stop you from using Gmail. What it stops you from doing is using it securely or with any of the new bells and whistles that have come out. You go to the old HTML version. Starting next week, actually, users will be affected by the change, and they will start seeing a banner at the top of Gmail telling them to upgrade to an up-to-date version of Google's browser. The affected browser versions include Chrome 49, which is the last version that was supported on XP and Vista. While Microsoft officially ended support for XP more than 2.5 years ago, Gmail has continued to work with it. Vista Service Pack 2 will reach end of extended support period on April 11th. Now, remember, extended support is support that you are paying Microsoft to get. So if you're not paying Microsoft to get support, you are not under extended support, and Vista is already a dead product for you. Google also pointed out that users of outdated versions of Chrome are more vulnerable to security exploits, which is of particular importance for XP because Microsoft is no longer even releasing security patches for the operating system. So those of you still using XP, you're really twisting in the wind now. Google suggested that administrators manage Chrome on behalf of their users and that they should upgrade them at this point. If they can't be upgraded because of an incompatible OS, Google recommended that admins take care of that as well. Basically, short story there is, if you're still using Windows XP, don't. Replace it with something. Windows XP still makes up 5% of the desktop browser market share worldwide, according to StatCounter. As of December 2016. That's a fraction of Windows 10's still growing share of the pie, measured at 27.2%, but shows that there are still holdouts.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Are you still using XP? Feeling a little beleaguered? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Just before I went on vacation, I had a customer bring in an old box that I had to put Windows XP back on for him on a newer hard drive because he had this one software package that will only run on XP. They never did any more, you know, to it.
There's probably a similar program that works on a newer OS, but people don't like to change.
Well, they don't like change, they don't want to take the time. Yeah. And that's where that comes in. And I'm sorry, but there comes a point where you can't be supported anymore. When that machine dies and you can't get XP on another machine and you haven't done a backup and you haven't looked for anything else, suddenly you're in panic mode and it's going to be Dave's fault.
Yeah, well, no, this guy was okay because this was just a standalone machine. Didn't go on the internet, nothing. All he had to do was have the basic operating system on there. He wound up, you know, doing the Service Pack 2, and it ran the software. Because otherwise, he took my advice and wound up going and getting a Chromebook.
Good for him.
And he loved it. He goes, I can't thank you enough. He goes, it does everything I want. Now I can just have this box sitting over there, and I can run this program for what I need it to do, and that's all I worry about.
Until the hardware dies.
Yeah. And he says, otherwise, you know, for right now, that's going to do me. and I'm good to go. Okay. But he says, again, thank you. The Chromebook, like I told him, you know, you can do work. Got him to go over to Google Docs, storing everything up there. He goes, that's fantastic. Because I'm sending folks time. They're having no problem reading it and everything else. Yeah.
Right.
It's the way it goes.
Right. One of the things I like is the ability to just say, send as PDF. Done. Yeah. Done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he is going to have an issue when that hardware dies. I certainly hope he's got good backups. And he really should be now looking for an alternative, maybe that runs online.
I already told him.
But you know what? People don't want to because they're lazy, and then
somebody's
panic mode.
Yeah.
You know, people used to come to me and say, we've got an emergency. And I would always say, is there blood? Because I've seen emergencies.
Yeah.
There's blood. Sometimes there's bullets. There's screaming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen emergencies.
Tears, crying.
If there's no blood, it may be a problem, but it's not an emergency.
Yeah.
I read a story about a kid off to college for his first year, and grandpa gives him this envelope and says, this is for an emergency. And at the end of the semester, the parents are helping him, must be end of the year, move back home, and they find the envelope. And they said, what, you never opened Grandpa's envelope? I said, well, I never had an emergency. Well, go ahead and open it. And so he opened the envelope, and there was $20 inside with a note that said, a pizza? That's an emergency? Well, okay, have fun. Apparently, Grandpa's given this envelope to everyone in the family who's gone off to college, and this was the only kid that took it literally and was waiting for an emergency.
Yep, yep, good for him. Good for him. No, people, and it's going to be an emergency the day that machine dies because, unless he prepares ahead of time.
When you pull the fresh, unopened box out of the closet.
I told you, I had a lady who bought three Osborne ones for me many years ago.
Wow.
She came and bought one, and she was a writer. And she came back and bought two more. And I said, what are these for? She said, I'm going to put them in the closet. She said, I finally learned, I got, this is in the 80s, right, early 80s,
mm-hmm.
Osborne 1. She said, I finally moved over to the computer. I love it, but I don't want to ever have to learn another operating system. So she bought three of them. She said, when this one dies, I got a second one in the closet. When that one dies, I got a third one in the closet. And she said, I'm 72 years old. That ought to last me.
Yeah.
I suspect that first one, because they were built in those days.
Oh,
I suspect that first one lasted her. But basically, that's what people do. They prep that way now. You know, I got an extra computer. We used to do that at the Saunders College. We would buy an extra laptop. Every faculty member got the same laptop, and we'd buy an extra one or two so that if somebody broke one, lost one, whatever they did to one, we could quickly provision one of the spares, and it would be identical to what they had.
Yeah.
And, of course, we backed up everything on our network and yada, yada, yada. So that's the kind of thing. Now, people can do that with Chromebooks very, very easily. You don't even have to have a second one sitting there. If your Chromebook dies or gets lost or gets stolen, you go to the store, you put down a couple of $100 to buy a new one, you log in with your username and password, and 5 minutes later, it looks just like the old one. All your apps are back, all your connections are back, everything you were doing in Google Drive is, of course, still there. So a lot of easy, simple things in terms of management. Just open up the new one, type in your username and password, and go.
And we hear that a lot in our repair shop, people coming in and, it's my business computer. I really need my QuickBooks file. And, okay, where's your backup? Well, I meant to get around to it. Or,
mm-hmm. Oh, I hear that.
What we really hate is no one ever told me I needed a backup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't live without my computer. Well, I'm sorry, it's broken. You're going to have to live without it for a little while.
Or die. Those are your two choices.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, what else can you say?
I figuratively can't live without it.
Figuratively. Can't live without it. But this is the thing. People wait for an emergency. There's a great Calvin and Hobbes commercial. Calvin and Hobbes are playing in the sandbox. And Hobbes says, don't you have a report? do for school? And Hob says, and Calvin says, I have to wait until I'm in the mood. And Hob says, what's the mood? And Calvin says, last minute panic.
I do my best work in last minute panic.
Exactly. And so that's the way people look at backups. Mm-hmm. Had I known it was going to die, I'd have backed it up an hour ago.
Well, someone told me computers don't die.
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
They lied to you.
Everything dies. Why did it die? Things break. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stuff happens.
Why do light bulbs burn out?
It worked fine yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yep. Yep.
Get a time machine, go back and back up.
Yep. And I like that Apple called their backup program Time Machine.
Exactly.
You go back in time, and there everything is.
Exactly.
We had a poor lady. She was having trouble with her computer, called Apple. Apple upgraded her to the new operating system over the phone. And now a bunch of other things don't work.
Right.
And they said, well, you use your backup. And so she called us. And so Apple said, I should have a backup. Yes, you should.
Yes.
Well, how do I get all this stuff off my computer? Go to your backup.
Right.
Well, how do I do that?
Right. People don't know. People don't listen. And we tell people every week, and they still, when they call, they say, I don't have a backup. Back up! What a great thing to do this afternoon.
While you're listening to the show, turn the radio up and start your backup.
That's exactly right. All right, that music tells me we're done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. Seriously, call earlier next week. But we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, who finally found his way back to the studio after wandering the deserts for 2 weeks. And for Steve Ray, who found his way here after wandering the deserts for a couple hours earlier today. I'm Nick Francesco. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known and unknown universe. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours.